Hey, good morning, Living Hope Wesleyan Church. It's good to see you today. I hope that you are having an amazing day. Welcome to church today. We're so glad that you've joined us. A number of things that we just want to remind you about today. First of all, welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad that you're here. I hope that you had a good interaction at Steeps and Sweets today. Also, just want to remind you that if you are willing to give to the ministry of Living Hope Wesleyan Church, you can do that in three ways. One, you can use the tithing box in the back of the sanctuary. You can use our online giving tool, or you can even mail in your tithes and your offerings. Thank you so much for doing so. You are so faithful and so very grateful for you for doing that. Also, just want to remind you that we have QR codes that are scattered across our building, and we would love it if you would use that today to scan in, and if there's anything that you would like us to pray for, include that in that that fillable online tool, or you can also just utilize it to let us know that you're present with us today. That is great, and we're so glad that you do that. Just want to take a moment and just express some extreme gratitude for who you are and what you bring to Living Hope Wesleyan Church. You play a vital role to the ministry of Living Hope, and I am so grateful for you and so thankful. Also, just want to invite you to be praying for the youth mission team that is going to be meeting tomorrow, and we're going to be beginning our youth local mission trip, and it's going to be a week of lots of activities and events, but we also would just ask that you would join us in prayer for that. So if you would please pray that we have strength, pray that we have endurance, pray that we also just have the attitudes that we need to make sure that this event is well represented, not only by Jesus, but well represented by us as followers of Jesus and being people of Living Hope Wesleyan Church and our friends that are going to be joining us from Spooner, Wisconsin and the Wesleyan Church there. So thank you so much for doing that. We just are so grateful for your prayers, and we're excited that we get to share with you again in 1 week from today. Well, you will get a full report on all the happenings of our mission trip, and we can't wait to share with you. So thank you so very much for praying, and we look forward to sharing with you. Well, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope that you are excited for what God is doing. But we just want to take a moment and spend some time in prayer before we get rolling for today. So let's pray together. God, we thank you. First of all, that you have called us to this place to come to worship you. And we thank you that we all have a role to play in our relationship with you. We have a responsibility to be intentional about our time with you. And so, God, we are grateful for that. We pray that you would utilize this time of worship and prayer and hearing your word spoken to us today, that it would be more than just a challenge, but that it would be something that would encourage us, something that would lead us, and something that would also guide us. Lord, you know that we all arrive to this place filled with many different things, filled with burdens that are on our minds, difficulties that are just ravaging our bodies, and we also have things that are going on in the world around us that we just need your help with. We have family members that are sick. We have family members that are hurting, that are not well in many different areas. And God, we pray that you would work in those situations. We pray for our own struggles, our own difficulties, our own medical problems, and we ask that you would guide us and direct us. God, in this time of our lives, we know we need you above all. And so, God, will you meet us where we're at? Holy Spirit, will you work in our lives, and will you continue to guide us every step along the way? God, I pray for the youth mission trip and ask, Father, that you would be more than just present, that you would make your presence heavy upon us. We seek you in everything that we do. We seek you in all that we do. And we seek you in all of the glory that you give us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a good exercise every now and then to take a long look at our spiritual lives and see how you and how me are doing in our lives, in our relationship with Jesus, and our depth and our relationship with him. So questions such as, how's my prayer life? Am I consistent in my daily disciplines? Do I find that the fruit of the Spirit are evident? Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness? Are they all a part of my life? Am I striving to be Christ-like in every aspect of my life? All of these questions are vital. All of these questions are real. All of these questions are important in our relationship with Jesus. And the last question that I have for us today is this. Is my relationship with Christ a priority? Or is it a Sunday morning event that I just mark off on my calendar and feel like I can attend whenever I want to? You see, what I realize is that making a conscious effort to be on mission is important. To be missional, to be purposeful, to make sure that my relationship, your relationship with Christ is vital, is very, very important. And now, please hear me on all this, is that I'm not trying to guilt you or to guilt me. I'm not trying to guilt anybody. And I'm not trying to put any pressure on anyone in any sort of way. But I do want to make sure that we are doing our part. You see, Jesus did his part. He died for your sins and for mine. He also is very, very much not forceful in how he goes about his work in our lives. He's not vengeful, but at the same point in time, while he is not any of those things, he also tells us that the world will know us by our fruit. They will know that we are his by our love. And so where is our fruit? It's necessary. James tells us that it is faith and love that works together, and the two concepts are linked together. The one cannot exist without the other. So the question is about priority. Is this thing called the Christian life a priority in your life? I know there are certain ways to look at these priorities. We could look at our calendars. We could look at our spending habits. We could look at the miles that are driven on our cars. We could look at a lot of different things. Good or bad, healthy or not healthy, beneficial or not beneficial. The truth of the matter is that whatever is a priority is what we prioritize. Whatever is really important gets done first. So, is my spiritual life a priority? Today in my message, I want to share with you a passage of scripture that I think will help us to understand priorities. And today I'm coming to you from Lau Park. It's in Marion, and as you can tell, it's absolutely beautiful. I've picked a spot that's kind of out of the wind, and so, but at the same point in time, it's a park, and so there are people that are around, and you may be picking up on some of the birds that are making music. Maybe you're picking up on the people that are here as well. But there's a story in the Old Testament that I just want to remind you about. a story in the Old Testament that is very illustrative to the issue of priority and the shifts that I think that if we can make a couple, we might be able to grow in our relationship a little bit more. But I want to give you a little bit of context as to where we are going. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you don't have your Bibles, but you have your Bible app, go ahead and break that out as well. And let's look at this passage of Scripture together. Now, something that I want you to understand about all of this is that Elijah is the prophet of God. And he's going to have an encounter with Elisha. But before that, Elijah is told by God to do three things. Three things. One, he's to anoint Hazael, and anoint Jehu, and then anoint Elisha to succeed himself. He's supposed to do those three things. Before he does anything else, he is supposed to do those three things. So the passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. So it says, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come and follow you. So Elisha left him, went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. Did you catch all that? He killed the oxen and burned the plow. He had a regular old barbecue for everybody that was around him. I don't know if it's true or not, but that seems to be one of the first instances of barbecue in the Bible. Anyways, there are several things that happen in this passage of Scripture that I think is really important for us today. So if you will, let's just jump right in and talk about some of these items. There's seven issues, seven thoughts, seven ideas, seven things that happen in the text that I think are pretty important for us today when we talk about priorities and the importance of them. The first thing is that God sent Elijah. Elijah was specifically sent by God to get Elisha to join in the prophetic ministry. There are times where God sends people into our lives that are sent for a specific reason. Sometimes it's to disciple. Sometimes it's for the benefit of the other. So someone can come into my life and they're there for me. They're to grow me. Or sometimes it's for me to grow them. Sometimes we are just sent into a person's life to be a listener and to help. Sometimes the benefit is not for us, but it's for others. And I'm a big believer that we are to build each other up, to sharpen one another, to help others for the betterment of one another, as you can tell in our most recent sermon series. Elijah was sent to him as to be an apprentice, so to speak, so to show the ropes of what was going on and what it means to be a prophet. I've had this happen in my own life. When I was a young college student, just getting into the ideas of what it means to be in ministry, I had a pastor friend, a youth pastor at Lindwood Wesleyan Church, that showed me the ropes, that spent time with me, invested in me, and hopefully he knows that I wanted to invest in him as well. And he helped me, he guided me, gave me opportunities, but then also encouraged me. He strengthened me. And in fact, last week, I saw him again, and it was a joy to just spend some time with Him. So who are you being sent to? God is up to something in your life. I know He is, because that's who God is. Who are you being sent to invest in, to care for, to sharpen, to benefit? It might be for a short term. It might be for a long term. It might be something that you've not thought about yet. But are you being sent to someone to disciple them, or to be learned from, to be discipled yourselves? What I wonder is do you need to be willing to be the disciple to someone, or to be discipled? Do you need to be someone that can listen and catch and hear? Or do you need to do that, or do you need someone in your life to listen to you? Second thought is this, that Elisha was just out plowing the field. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was doing what he knew to do. He was walking within his role as a farmer. He was doing his job. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. It's not a bad thing. It was a great thing that he was a farmer. But it was not his complete calling. Catch that. Now, we see that from the benefit of looking from 30,000 foot view of Scripture, because what we know is that he was then called to be a prophet, but he was being faithful in what he was supposed to be doing. He had a unique role, a unique purpose at that point in time, and he was fulfilling his calling. You have a place. You have a role. You have a responsibility. You have a job. But let's remember that that job, that responsibility, that role is just a part of your calling. You are called to bless others. You are called to be a blessing, as Abraham was a blessing to the nations. We, you and me, are called to bless others spiritually, relationally, and sometimes we are called to benefit one another in different ways. So let's remember that we need to be on mission. Let's be on mission together, each of us. The third thing is that Elisha was called. The moment that the cloak fell on Elisha, he was called by God to do something new, something that he was not prepared for, a whole new journey. What's that mean for you and me? In Elisha's life, it was not the outcome that he saw coming. It really wasn't. He was not working to be a prophet. He was not even in that field of work. He was long ways off from that. But what we can learn from this is that God might surprise you with the unexpected. God might surprise you with the unexpected. Some of what you have experienced in your life in this recent year, in this recent time frame of your life, you were maybe doing something that you did not expect. How is God using you for the betterment of His kingdom? You are called. You are called to be on mission for a purpose. And I absolutely love it that you are. And here's something I want you to catch. Elisha, he didn't have any formal training. He just followed in what he was supposed to do. And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have any formal training either. Will you be willing? Will you be able to just receive that cloak of anointing and go after it? See, I believe that you are called for a specific purpose, for a specific reason, and I hope and I pray that you would be willing to go for it. Fourth thing is this, is that Elisha ran after Elijah. For many of us, this is where the rubber meets the road. We know and we understand that there's an area that we can serve in, and sometimes there's something that we can do, but the question is will we be willing? Will we be willing and not hesitate to answer the call? Now, it appears to me that as we look at Elisha's story, he did not hesitate to go when the cloak hit him, to run after him. And what do we see in the passage of Scripture is that Elisha ran after Elijah. And I think that his response has a lot to tell us and has a lot to show us about what willingness and responsiveness are all about. It's not necessarily about training. It's not necessarily about preparation, but it has to do with willingness. Many times that's where the excuses lie. Well, I haven't been trained. Well, I haven't been prepared for this, and I haven't done this or that. But this is where the rubber meets the road. You can be shown the ropes. You can be shown how to do different things. You can be trained. You can be. You can learn how to be a small group leader. You can learn how to work with children, with youth, with adults. You can be trained to be on mission. You can be given the tools necessary to accomplish the goal, but it all comes back to willingness. Willingness. If God is calling you to something, to serve somewhere, to do something specific for His kingdom, will you be willing to do what is necessary to follow that call of God? We all have to wrestle with that question. I have to wrestle with that question. You have to wrestle with that question. And everyone throughout history has to wrestle with that question. What do we do with it? It really comes down to our response. What will we do? The fifth is this, is that he kissed his parents goodbye. For Elisha, it seems like this was necessary. I know this sounds kind of weird, but he was willing to kiss his parents goodbye. He knew that if he was going to be a part of the calling by God, that he would need to be totally committed to what was going on. There would be something that he would have to give up in the process. What are you willing to give up for God's kingdom? I'm not sure what it might be for you. In many instances, it's probably that thing called comfortability. Doing what the Lord has put on your heart might be very uncomfortable because it's something that you've not done before. It's something that you might have to work with people that you don't know very well, or it might be something that is putting you just outside of your comfort zone when it comes to what God is calling you to do. It also might mean that you have to lose a little bit of control. Any control freaks in the room with me today? Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? We have to realize that in all of life, we're not in control. We like to think we are, but God is ultimately in control. And it might mean that we have to surrender ourselves completely to Him to allow Him to work in us. It might mean that we have to take a back seat. It might mean that we need to let someone else lead. It might mean that we need to let someone else succeed us. Elijah had to deal with that because Elisha was coming up behind him. But what I do know in all of this, is that we have to be willing to let go. Elisha let go of his family dynamics. My guess is that Elisha was working on his dad's farm and he needed to kiss them goodbye so that he could go and be faithful, to be completely surrendered to what God wanted to do. And I know this to be true from personal experience. I knew that when I was called into ministry that I would probably never serve in my hometown. I knew that I would probably never be in the same community as my parents, as my brothers, as my family. I knew that when Andrea and I got married that we would probably not serve nearby her family. And that has been true. We've been blessed in the last 10 years to be only a few hours away from family. It's the closest that we have ever been to in distance to our families. Does that mean that's what always happens? No, not at all. But I knew that when it came to surrendering completely to what God was calling me to, I needed to be willing to say yes, whenever, wherever, and however. What about you? Jesus called his disciples to give up everything, and they did. Peter says, "Lord, we have given up everything to follow after you." It's true. Paul was so willing to go to so many different parts of the world, but he was willing to surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading when he was not allowed to go to Macedonia because it was not time yet. Maybe the time is now for you to be willing to give up anything to go where God is calling. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that is a concern that you can wrestle with. I hope it's also something that you would be willing to say, you know what, my comfortability doesn't really matter, but what does matter is the kingdom. And I'm willing to do whatever. Willing to go wherever. Willing to serve in whatever capacity. The sixth thing that happens in this passage of scripture is this, is that the oxen are killed and the plow is burned. Metaphorically speaking, this is exactly what Elisha was doing, is that he was never going back. In effect, Elisha, by killing the oxen and burning the plow and having a barbecue, his previous life, his going back to the way things once were, was never going to happen ever again. He was not going to go back to staring at the backsides of oxen ever again. So he killed them and burned the plow. He made dinner out of it and cooked it. This is significant. He wasn't going to go back to plowing again. That wasn't the plan. There was no plan B to go back to it. Burning it all. He would give all that he could. Going back wasn't an option. Returning to the farm wasn't going to happen. And I love this thought process. I absolutely do, because this is just the type of audacious attitude that I love to see in Scripture. I love to see it in people as well. He's eliminating the temptation to give up on what he could do. He's eliminating the possibility of ever returning. And his mindset was firm. I am going to do this, and this is what I'm all about. Kill the oxen, burn the plow. Begs the question, in your life and in my life, What are we willing to get rid of? Elisha was willing to get rid of his livelihood. What are we willing to get rid of? I know this passage is very specific and it's about the call of a prophet, but doesn't this apply to other areas of our lives as well? Other areas of church and ministry and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to our spiritual growth, our spiritual lives, and to be a disciple? Isn't that a part of it? I think it is. I really, really do. And there are a number of things that we are all collectively holding on to that are stopping us from really going all in to being on mission for God and doing what He has called us to. Not only do we need to say goodbye to our comfort, but we might need to get rid of something or to actually put something to death. Many times, it's our own selfishness. Many times, it's our own desires. Many times, it's on the things that we think we deserve or the things that we want. We've got to be really careful and cautious with those types of mindsets. The last thought in all of this is to set out and partner. This is the last thing that Elisha does, is that he got up, and the Hebrew text kind of gives us this indication that Elisha followed Elijah and joined in with him with ministry in a variety of ways, by serving others, by sometimes serving Elijah and attending his needs and other things. The big point in all of this is that Elisha was no longer staring at the backsides of animals, but he was accepted and called and began to do what he was supposed to do, what was necessary to be in that ministry. He partnered with Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in all of Israel history. Partnering is something that we often don't talk about in ministry or in church too much. It's not something that I necessarily have talked to you about, but maybe you need to be willing to partner with people in ministry to make the church run. People partnering with people, people connecting with people to accomplish the ministry that is so important, so key. So who might you be willing to partner with? Who might you be willing to step in and lead with and help accomplish the roles of ministry, where there is a common goal, where there's a need that is met to get into the minute, to the role of the church? Partnership is inclusive. It allows others to be involved. It actually does the work to get people on the same page for some common goals. And I think that it's vital, and I think it's something that we probably need to get a little bit better at. So who might you bring along with you? Who might you invite with you to accomplish the roles of ministry? I hope that you think about these things. I hope that you think about what areas of our lives we need to get better at when it comes to the life of the church, the life of ministry. What I know to be true is this, is that when you and I do the things of ministry that are important, we always have to be willing. We always have to be willing to give up control, to surrender to something, and to seek God's goodness in everything. So when it comes to all of this, let's really consider where God might be calling us to, where He might be willing to take us, and where we might have to answer the call to partner, to give up something, and to run after what He has called us to. Let's pray together. Father God, thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your scripture, Your truth. And thank You for the ways in which we have heard this passage of Scripture that can challenge us that can hold us accountable, but that can also remind us that we are not just on an island in this thing called church life, followers of Jesus, but we are a part of something together that you want to do in us and help us. And I pray, Father, that we would be looking into our own lives, doing a little bit of a gut check this morning, and seeing where our willingness might be. God, will you guide our thoughts today? Will you guide our hearts? Will you also just remind us that it's ultimately your will that needs to be done, and that we can trust in you? Because you are faithful and you are a loving God. So guide us and direct us, and may we continue to seek after you in all ways. And we pray this in your Son's name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Living Hope, thank you so much for joining me on this journey. And as I'm looking at the camera today, I am thinking, wow, that is a beautiful, beautiful sunset. I know it's off in the distance that way, but we're getting a little bit of it right there. Thank you so much for just being a church that loves people. And I look forward to what God is going to do in the coming days, in the coming weeks. I believe that the best is yet to come, and I hope that you know that. And if there's anything that I can ever do to help you grow in your relationship, please feel free to contact me at any point in time. And I just want to say a welcome to all the people that are joining us on Facebook and on YouTube as they watch it later, and on our live stream. So we're so glad that you've joined us. Welcome. And I hope that you've been blessed as you have worshiped today. Let's take some time to close out our time together with singing. So Lee and Carrie, won't you please come and lead us, and let's worship together. Have a great day.